There's one part where you're going to see me staring at the bottom of my screen. It's because my mute would not work. And I was like, I'm dying. Mute. I have to hack. Stop. Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl.
Where this week, we are going to be introducing y'all to a new fangirl. Actually, it's a fanboy.
It's a fanboy. I am Mandy of Toulon.
And I am Karen from the Mall of America. Welcome back to the podcast. Time to break Mandy's heart.
I don't like you.
In our timeline, it is February 8th. Mandy has a five-year-old niece, which is so depressing.
She's been five for a few days.
I know. And in y'all's timeline, it is February 16th, which means I have a nine-year-old.
And
tomorrow, the twins are turning. Yeah. 15. How old? 15.
Driver's permit.
I feel like that's a lie.
That makes me feel really barfy.
Gross.
That makes me feel really barfy.
Oh my God. These children. They need to stop. They did not get the message.
I don't know how they keep getting older when I don't.
Exactly. How is that possible?
How is this happening? Because I'm still 23.
That's an odd number. I don't like it. I'm going to go with 24. Random one.
Okay.
All right.
Give me 24.
This week in fangirling, Mandy, tell me what you did.
I read House of Flame and Shadow. Just meh. Mm-hmm. I hate that. I hate that I have to say meh. But Throne of Glass is epic. Mm-hmm. ACOTAR is almost as epic. Mm-hmm. The first couple Crescent City books are a lot of world building and info dump. But the end of the last Crescent City book, epic. This one was just kind of, it's not bad. It's nowhere near as good as I expected it to be. It was like there's this cliffhanger at the end of the second book and you're like, oh, this is going to be so cool.
Is it meh because it's meh, or is it meh because you built it up really high in your mind?
Well, so we have a lot of mutual friends who've read it, and all of them have been saying I think it's because, and when you get to it, the cliffhanger in House of Sky and Breath is like, oh. And you're like, oh my God, this is setting up such a cool story. It's going to be so cool. And she takes that story and just kind of blops it. It could have been a lot. I mean, yes, we built it up in our minds, but also she made us do that with the way she wrote the end of the last book. And then everyone I've talked to about it we've all agreed that she could have done so much with this thing, and instead she just kind of it could have been taken out and the story would have stayed the same. So it's you just did this for no real reason.
I see.
It's just to say you did it,
right?
And it should have been something way more epic.
That's frustrating.
There was a moment, and I'm not gonna I guess it's not a plot spoiler, it's not it's a scene that happens, but it made me really emotional. It has nothing to do with the plot really, but there is a character who is in a situation where mentally they are gone, you know, and another character is this person needs you, and they kind of look at the other character and then they're this person needs you, and they're just dead staring at them, and then they say this person's nibbling niece and nephew, their name, they are waiting for you, and that's what brings them back. And as an auntie, I fell apart because I was like, there is nothing on this earth that could keep me from my nieces and nephews. There's nothing. And I know I'm not shading moms. Mom love is everywhere. Every book you read that has a mom in it, it's like, I'm a mama bear. Aunties, I'm not saying we love the kids as much as moms.
I
know it's different, but I would die for them. I literally would die for them. So to see a little bit of auntie representation was I felt so seen.
Yeah.
I felt so seen. And it was such a special little because you don't see auntie love that often. And we're still here. We still love our babies too.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yes.
I would give my life for those children. And I don't even have to ask why. If it's me or them, I'll go. Let them stay.
Right.
We watched the last two episodes of Percy Jackson. No notes, perfection.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, I
Yep.
can't really talk about the plot because it's Percy Jackson. You need to watch it all.
Yeah.
We watched Wonka.
Oh, okay.
I don't understand why it's getting hate.
Oh, I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
So it's Willy Wonka's origin story. He travels the world for several years in pursuit of like all the best ingredients for chocolate. And you know he goes to like really like fantastical looking islands and stuff. And the whole movie is really fantastical looking visually. And then he comes to the Galerie Gourmet, which is like a little downtown area that's got like four shops and they're all chocolatiers. And one of the shops is like for rent.
Oh.
And so he's like, I'm going to open my chocolate shop and it's going to be great. Unfortunately, he gets, I don't really know how to explain it. He gets kind of hoodwinked by the person who, Olivia Colman,
Oh,
love her,
love her.
who runs this like laundry slash like bed and breakfast hostel type situation. So he goes into like massive debt with her.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so he's trying to get out of this debt and also like the three rival chocolatiers will stop at nothing to keep Wonka from getting in on their business. It was really good. It gave me Greatest Showman vibes. There's a lot of singing.
Okay, I love
At
me
the
some Greatest
end,
Showman.
yeah, it was. I guess a lot of people hate it. I don't get that. But then again, I don't have any hate for Timothée Chalamet, and a lot of people do.
That's fair.
And so
I don't
I'm
get
like,
that
he's
either, but
Fae. He's Fae. Like,
whatever. Yeah.
what can you hate about the Fae?
Well, some people do for
It's
no
weird.
reason.
People are weird. So yeah, it was. I really liked it. When the credits roll, they play like the "Come with me and you'll be,"
Aww.
and I'm singing it, and my husband is like, "You know all the words?" Of course, I know all the words. What? I watched this movie 500 million times when I was a kid. Like, you didn't?
Right.
So
That's
I
so
liked it. Very visually appealing. Apparently, my 5-year-old niece, the same night that I watched it at home, she got the, I don't want to say her name because it's over here, the A word remote.
Oh,
You know who I'm talking about? The
Yep.
Amazon Assistant remote, and bought that same movie. So
Oh.
she called me the next day and she's like, I watched the chocolate movie. And there's an Oompa Loompa who is Hugh Grant, turns around and sticks his butt out and farts purple glitter. But
Oh
she's
my
not allowed
God.
to say farts. So she says, then the orange man fluffed and it was purple. And my sister's like, yeah, tell her that you bought that without permission because you're too smart for your own
gosh.
good.
Oh my goodness.
Then I read How to Dance by Jason B. Dutton, which we'll talk about later.
Yes.
Loved it. No notes. I thought it was very cute. And then I read All This Was to Glory by Tahereh El-Mafi. I really obviously, like, this is probably, I'm sure other books will come out that I'm going to be really excited about, but like going into 2024, this was my most anticipated release. So, like, it's the third installment in the This Woven Kingdom series. She said that there's going to be 5 books total.
Okay.
Obviously, I can't say much because it starts after book two, but Aliza and company have a lot of problems that they've got to work out. Tahereh El-Mafi does not miss. Like, I was after the disappointment of House of Flame and Shadow, I was like, I am scared because I was real hyped for that book and it let me down. I should have known better. This woman can do no wrong. And I
Yeah.
still want to shout out the person on Goodreads who said after book one, we all knew in book one, this person, I don't know what book this person read. Cameron is Aaron Warner if he had good parents. Baby, baby, no. Cameron could never, never, but we live, breathe, and die for Cyrus. Okay. Cyrus is this, is our Aaron Warner. He's so tortured. There's one, like, I it's just like, it's not a major spoiler, but it's a spoiler. But he says something like he's got Aaron Warner's monologue thoughts because he's gone, just like Aaron Warner was gone, you know? Can't let anybody know it. But he said, she asks him something and he says something. And I was just like, I'm dead. I died from it. And my bestie Brandy was listening to it too. And she texted me when he said that. She was like, oh my God. I was like, I know. She was like, I really liked Cameron at first, but Cyrus, my God. So yeah, that's what I did this week. I had kind of a chill week. If you can't tell, I've been a little sick. So I did a lot of reading because I've really been doing a lot else.
What else are you gonna do?
Exactly. Lay in my bed and sleep or read. So,
Yep.
oh, I watched Vanderpump Rules. Vanderpump
Oh yeah,
Rules is back.
I saw a commercial for it coming back and I was like, I can't wait to hear all the tea from Mandy.
Okay. Let me just get your opinion. Okay.
Okay.
You were in a relationship with someone for 10 years. You buy a house together where, from what I have heard, they both put equal amounts of money into the house buying it.
Okay.
Then that person breaks the home, cheats on you with one of your best friends. What would you do?
Kick him out and keep the house.
He won't leave. She won't leave. They're currently both living in their house because he offered her like what she invested in the house. And she's like, absolutely not. I want half of what the house is worth. We both invested the same amount.
Right.
We should both get the same benefit. So she's like, we need to sell the house. But she's like, what am I going to do? Pack up all my clothes and my stuff and leave tail tucked? I didn't break the home.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be able to keep it.
Right.
So they are both communicating through Tom's poor assistant, Anne, who seems like a real angel. She really does. So she'll text. Like, he said, I want to have a birthday party at the house. And Anne had to text Ariana. And Ariana's like, I'll call the police if they get loud. And she was like, well, he said he can get you a hotel room. That's insulting. I'm not leaving my house. It's wild. They're still on all their shenanigans.
I'm sure.
It was fun. So that's been my week. I did watch some Vanderpump Rules.
Love it.
What did you do this week?
I read Realm Breaker by Victoria Aveyard. Mandy has already talked about this one, so I don't really need to go into details, but I loved it. I had a moment where I was like, what? And you know exactly what you're talking about because you texted me asking me what I thought about it after I said I finished it. And I was like, but
that's
also
always going to be the moment that stands out to me where you're like, I beg your sincerest pardon.
I did not expect it at all.
No.
Normally, I can kind of get an inkling that something is coming, but that just out of nowhere.
That one is. I love it. I love it.
No, it was great. It was great. But what?
Yeah.
And I am currently trying to figure out when is the best time to read Blade Breaker so that it's fresh in my memory for when Fate Breaker comes out at the end of the month. I'm like, I will forget
everything. You know how they have girl math? This is like bookish math and it's bookish math and bookish gymnastics.
It is.
Trying to figure out. Yeah. I'm feeling like I'm doing calculus, trying to feel like when I should read certain books.
Right? So that you like
retain a little bit.
Something. Yeah. So it's going well. I read Canadian Boyfriend by Jenny Holiday. You've got Aurora Evans, who goes by Rory, who met a teenage Canadian hockey player at the Mall of America when she was in high school. That's where she worked. And that is where she comes up with this brilliant idea. Now, Rory is like kind of, I don't want to say prodigy, but she's really good at ballet and does a lot of practicing and is like very professional, like heading on a professional track. So she's missing a lot of school. She gets excused from school to go to practices, recitals, things like that. And so she doesn't really have a lot of friends. Actually, I don't think she has any friends when she's in high school. Okay. And she, you know, can't really attend school functions like prom or dances because she didn't have anybody to go with. And so that's where her brilliant idea comes into play, because she makes up a fake Canadian boyfriend. Because when you have a Canadian boyfriend, you can't go to the prom because you have to go visit your Canadian boyfriend.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect catch-all excuse for her.
Yeah. But reasonable.
Right. But then years later, when recently widowed pro hockey player and single dad Mike Martin walks into her dance studio with one of her favorite students, Rory realizes that he is the fake Canadian boyfriend that she made up as a teenager. Mike Martin is, because he
is. You mean Mike Martin?
Mike Martin.
Is it Mike Martin? Is that his name? Mike Martin.
And so the two get closer because of the situation. The two get closer. Spoilers for the situation, which is why I'm not explaining it. But the two get closer, and things are kind of like tense because Mike's continuing to hold back because he's not really able to trust anybody after discovering a secret that his late wife had been keeping from him for months before her death. And Rory's little white lie from years ago kind of threatens to unravel that trust even more.
Ooh.
So, you know, things happen. We'll see what happens between the two of them. I don't know. I really liked it, but
what happens between Rory and Mike Martin? Mike Martin, that one guy, Mike Rory. Martin.
Rory. Rory, I love you, but my God. My God.
I know. You got to tell the people why I keep saying Mike Martin.
Listen. So when Mike Martin shows up at her dance studio, she is saying his full name. She's like, Mike Martin, blah, 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 this and this. But she keeps doing it throughout the entire freaking book. Every single time she says Mike, it's not Mike, it's Mike Martin. Mike Martin said this. Mike Martin did that. Mike Martin. Why? Why? Why?
Oh my God.
Why? Not even just like before they become friends, during that, and then even further as their relationship progresses through the epilogue. She is still calling him Mike Martin. I cannot.
Oh my Why? God.
Why? Drove me insane. But other
his
than
name
that,
is Mike Martin.
I really liked it. And as a bonus for our Dawson's Creek fans, which I was one back in the day, Joshua Jackson, aka Pacey, narrates Mike's POV. And if I hadn't already been planning to read this book, I would have done it just for him. So I really liked it. Other than that, just one sticking point. It drove me insane.
You're like,
But yeah, then I read The Kiss Quotient and The Bride Test by Helen Huang. The Kiss Quotient is my book club pick for this month.
I loved The Kiss Quotient. I can't believe I've read The Kiss Quotient before you. Like, who are you?
I don't know. So we've got Stella Lane, who is not one of us because she loves math and thinks that it is the only thing that unites the universe. I don't
understand. Not relatable.
But to be fair, Stella is also autistic, so it's hard for her to pick up on social cues and nuances and things like that. But she's really great at her job and has more money than she knows what to do with, but dating experience, not quite so much. So she decides that she needs to practice with the professional, which is when she hires Michael Fan, who is an escort, and he can't really afford to turn down her offer and agrees to help her check off all the things that she has on her list that she needs to learn, from foreplay to more than missionary position.
Yeah.
But Stella is a quick learner, and soon their weird partnership starts to make a kind of sense to her that leaves her wondering if there's more logic in love than she once thought. And it's a good time. I really enjoy it.
Every time I use a plastic dish, I think of her. She had like an episode where she was like, you can't microwave that. Mm-hmm. Well, you microwaved the food in that. Now it's got chemicals in it.
Chemicals.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, Stella. I microwaved a plastic bowl today.
My mom is the same way. We're not allowed to microwave plastic. So yeah. I'm like, that was so relatable to me because I would have just had my mom. It was like my mom was yelling at me.
Yeah.
And
oh,
then
gosh.
The Bride Test is the second book I put in quotes because it's not like a sequel. It's just it's interconnected romances, you know, how they are. So Bride Test, we've got Kai Diep, who believes that he is, well, defective because he can't feel the big, like, important emotions like grief and love, so he thinks. And he's just kind of learned to live with that. He's avoiding relationships like the plague because he doesn't want other people to get hurt because he can't feel for them what they feel for him. But his mother thinks that's silly and takes matters into her own hands, goes back to Vietnam to find him the perfect bride. That is where we have Esmeralda Tran enter the picture. Esme is mixed race. She has, well, it's not in the synopsis, so I'm not going to say it because I don't know if somebody would consider that a spoiler. But there are certain things about her life that she has to keep secret when she goes to America to meet Kai. And, you know, she really doesn't like the thought of marrying somebody that she doesn't love, but she's really willing to do whatever it takes to make her life and her family's life better because they're not, you know, like upper echelon rich people in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. They're struggling. So she sets her mind to seducing Kai and convincing him that they could work out. But in the process, she kind of just convinces herself and finds herself hopelessly smitten with a man who is convinced that he is not able to love. And it's really good. It's one of those, okay, so there's a lot of, I don't want to say it's the miscommunication trope because I know we hate that, but it's miscommunication because Kai is autistic. And it's just
oblivious.
A different way of like thinking in the brain. He's very much like, you know how some people get all of their information about sex from their sex ed classes in like school? That's Kai.
Yeah.
So imagine how that would play out
yeah
in a romance. situation. And that's the kind of like miscommunication that we get.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I really liked it. And I'm looking forward to reading the third book, which I don't actually know who it follows. I'm hoping that it's Kai's brother because I thought he was very sweet. But I haven't read the synopsis yet, so I don't know. But I will be reading it.
Okay.
And then also I read How to Dance. Yay! And again, we will be talking about it later. But once again, loved it. Loved it. Loved it.
I read it in two sittings. And that normally is not able. I mean, I've been sick, but that normally is not something I can do.
I read it in one sitting, but it's because I started it when our power went off and then stayed off for 15 hours. So I didn't really have anything else to do.
Yeah.
But also, it's not just because of that. Like, I was like, I need to know what happens. You too.
I wanted to beat them over the head with the book, but.
Oh, yes. So I really loved it. I can't wait to talk about it some more later.
I know. I've been looking forward to this all week.
Me too. That was my week.
Well, do you happen to have a fictional boyfriend this week?
You know what? I'm going to say no. I have a fictional girlfriend this week.
All right.
And other than the fact that she called Mike by his full name every single time.
Wait, Mike Martin?
I actually really, really loved Rory. She felt like, so she was, like I explained, like was an outcast in school because of like the life that she was choosing to lead. And for her to feel like she had to have an excuse to miss these things at school, like it just felt so relatable though. Like it's really sad, but like it's so relatable to feel like, oh, I need to have an explanation for every little part of my life.
And I can't just say no.
Right. And how and why I'm living my life this way. And so, yeah, I just really loved her. And also she was like super freaking cute with Mike's daughter. Like adorable. I'm a sucker for anybody who is good with kids that they don't have to be good to, you know? Like obviously I love parents and aunties and uncles and everybody who loves the kids that are their kids. Yeah. But like when you've got Rory, who is an unrelated stranger, being good to, you know, her, I'm just like, I love that extra. Sweet. So
I wonder if she did the Mike Martin thing because it was kind of similar to like a fangirl mentality of like, I've built this person up into my head to now like the reputation is this is Mike. Like if I met Tom Hiddleston, I would be telling everybody like, it's Tom Hiddleston. I'm standing next to Tom Hiddleston. It's Tom Hiddleston.
Right. That was
And so I get, is it stuck in her mind?
But the problem with that is like, she didn't know him as a hockey player. Like he wasn't a celebrity to her. He was just.
No, but like her Canadian boyfriend, it was Mike Martin. Did she know his name as a teenager?
She didn't know his name.
Oh, never mind then. Because I was going to say, if she spent 10, 15 years thinking like Martin was my fake Canadian boyfriend. Well,
and the thing is, like, there were in the early part of the book, she would, I mean, this was like prologue type part of the book where she would consistently be saying, you know, my Canadian boyfriend this and my Canadian boyfriend that. And then when she meets Mike Martin, she is like, oh my God, that's my Canadian boyfriend. And for a little while, instead of saying his name, she'd be like, my Canadian boyfriend, my Canadian boyfriend.
Yeah.
And
so there's
like
no
that,
reason
that I would have gotten name. But the Mike Martin thing, I'm like,
that's weird. That's a weird choice.
Other than that, like I really adored her. So Rory Evans is my fictional girlfriend this week.
All right,
tell me about yours. I think I know
three guesses.
Tell me.
Cyrus, King of Talon. I'm head over heels. He's not Aaron Warner, but he's the Aaron Warner of this Woven Kingdom. I'm in love. I'm obsessed. The pining. I like that. I love Anemones to Lovers. I love a slow burn, but pining might be my favorite.
I love
like when you find out that they're just like aching for this person and the person is just oblivious. Oh, take a fork in me. I'm done.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's Cyrus. I love him. My baby angel.
Yay.
He has a dragon.
Even better.
Great.
That makes me think of either I sent it to Beth or she sent it to me, an Instagram reel where it's like, how to be a good book boyfriend, fantasy edition.
And oh, I sent it to Josh. Yeah.
It's like, step one, have a dragon.
Yep.
I'm like, yep. Yeah.
There was Doesn't one where it was it, like, but... it was like, there was one where I sent this one to Josh where they're like, we're book husbands. Of course we know how to do the door frame lean and then do the door frame lean. And then it's like, of course we don't have a dragon. And his wife is just like, Rude self. If you really loved me,
You
if you
would.
really loved me, you'd have a
Listen,
dragon or a wyvern.
ladies, if he wanted to, he would.
He would.
Just saying.
We're just saying.
Yep. That sound means we have an intruder alert.
Oh my gosh, I'm so
Guys, I'm so
excited.
excited. I'm calling him the latest fangirl to join the podcast because fangirl is a state of mind. It
I
is
like
debut
it.
author Jason B. Dutton. He wrote How to Dance, and look at how cute this book is. You guys, I can't. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
For anybody who is not on Patreon, he is currently wearing a Spider-Man shirt, which means
Yeah.
that he fits in perfectly, okay? One of us.
One of us, one of us, one of us.
It was intentional. Yeah.
So, we always like to start off with the author giving us the quick elevator pitch of the book.
Yeah, so the book is about the story of Nick Freeman and Haley Burke. And Nick Freeman is a high school math teacher. He's also a very talented singer, so he takes it upon himself to become a regular at his at the karaoke night at his local bar because he really enjoys impressing people and charming them. But the problem is he's doing that to sort of feel fulfilled or happy. And he realizes that it's not working very well when he catches sight of a professor who's dancing with her boyfriend in the bar and realizes when he sees her that he hasn't ever really experienced even like a fragment of the joy that she's getting from dancing. And that dancer's name is Haley, and she's a professional with her boyfriend Kevin, and she notices Nick's reaction and urges him to dance. The problem is that because Nick is sitting down, she doesn't realize that he has cerebral palsy and walks with a metal walker. So it's a very awkward first conversation that leads to a friendship and then something more. It's a romance, but it's also a book about what happens when you choose to live your life and what happens when you trust people with telling you about your own value, really.
I mean, spot. I mean, you wrote it, so spot on. Like, yeah, there are so many times where like I wanted to beat them over the head and be like, "You are so much worth so much more than you're lying to yourself about. Like, this is your brain lying to you. Why won't you listen to your people who love you? They love you for a reason. People don't
It's
tend to
funny how.
stick with bad people, you know?"
No, and it's funny how many. I mean, none of the characters in the book actually exist in real life, but there are plenty of people, male and female, that think that way for various reasons. You know, there's the line where he says, he tells her she's beautiful and she's legitimately surprised and he's like stymied. Like, why would you? Who, somebody must have told you before now, and that doesn't always happen.
That's so true. So this particular interview is kind of exciting for us in that we don't normally get to talk to authors during pub week. It's either like after or like before. Most of the time it's before. What is this week like been? What has this week been like for you? And like,
Oh, dear
tell us kind of
Lord.
the experience of pub week.
It's been like nothing I've ever experienced in my life because I've never published a book before, first of all, but just the community that has been the people that have been invested in this for literally it took me started in 2016. So when I did that, I started updating on Facebook pretty much every week, you know, my progress. And what I didn't realize was going to happen was that so many people that I knew were going to rally around that effort. So now that the book is out, so many people are just over the moon because they know me, because they were excited about the book, and thank God because they actually like the book too, which was a major fear of mine because it's like, well, you can support me all you want, but you haven't read it yet. So, you know, that was a whole fear of mine, but that's been exciting. And then yeah, it came out on Tuesday. This is Thursday. So I did a little bit of advocacy actually on Tuesday because I went to a Barnes and Noble to sign some copies and they were shelved at the very top of the romance section, which is like I'm 5'5" tall and they're, you know, a good foot above my head. And I went to a sales rep and said, hey, I'd love to sign these, but also could we reshelve them because nobody in a wheelchair can either find it if they're looking for it or discover one too. And so that's been interesting too, knowing that I didn't really start writing the book as an advocate, but I do have a strong sense that I can make a difference with the book. And that's part of what this last couple of days has been so far.
Absolutely. And
That, yeah.
representation is so important. And like you said, somebody could use their walker to go into Barnes and Noble or go in a wheelchair and they're
Yeah.
never going to see your book. Honestly, why are shelves so tall?
I don't know. They would have, anybody would have had to get on a ladder. Like, I don't know how they would have been able to do that, but.
That's insane. Well, I'm glad you had that experience that you were able to like advocate for people who need it because we don't oftentimes like, especially like for us, we're able-bodied people. We don't think about that as much. Like we should, but we don't. And so like, I love that this book is out there to to kind of put that into the spotlight a little bit more.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, like I said, I am an advocate, but I'm not a confrontational person. I don't seek out battles. And I kind of have a pet theory that a lot of people with disability are generally occupied with trying to live their lives. So we're not, you know, I'm not going to go to bat for an automatic door in a bookstore if it's going to take half my life and most of my effort. Maybe that's a character failing of mine. But I got the idea to write the book actually because in 2016 I saw a movie preview for a movie called Me Before You. I don't know if you guys have seen the book.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
I've read the book and seen the movie. Why do you love the movie so much or the book?
Well, I like pain.
You like
it
pain.
Hurt me.
Okay.
I love a book that makes me like ugly cry. Okay. And it made me ugly cry. It's basically what it is. I like anything that's gonna make me sad.
No, I'm glad you like it because I'm genuinely interested in that. Because I saw the preview and it had Amelia Clark, and it's a story about she's an able-bodied caregiver and falls in love with a disabled guy. And I said, well, that's great. Like, I'm already in love with Amelia Clark. Let's do this. Yeah. And then I learn Wikipedia tells me that he commits suicide at the end. And even more bothering to me than the suicide itself was the fact that the story seemed to be being received as this sort of tragic, beautiful love story, like A Walk to Remember, like he had died of cancer or something. And from my perspective, it was more like, well, he kind of chose to leave. He said, he said, hey, my life before being disabled was so awesome that I can't really handle not being able-bodied anymore. And so I'm not going to stick around. And I was worried that was kind of the prevailing wisdom about disability, that maybe people were just assuming that if you lost capability, like that was it, you know? And so I thought, well, I need to write a book about choosing to stick around, what that looks like and sort of the every that sometimes. And so that's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people love that book for so many different reasons. But
I'm so glad that you brought it up because as an able-bodied person, it never would have crossed my mind that it would be perceived as, oh, well, a disabled life is not worth living. And now I'm like reframing that entire book because to me, it was like your love story is not worth, you know, what I want, which is sad.
Yeah.
And it was sad to me that, like, I don't know, it just made me sob that I hated that he left. You know, I hated that he
did. Everybody hated that he left, I wanted to drop kick him in the head. I'm like,
true. Yeah. You're like, hey, asshole. you still have a great life.
You know, if Tom Hiddleston came up to you and said, hey, let's make a go of it. And your reply was like, no, I'm sorry. No, I've got these things that my life will never be what I want it to be. And so, no, I must leave you. And oh, by the way, if you love me, I'd like you to be there when I commit suicide. And I was like, why would you do that?
That fucking movie freaking sucks, Jason.
I would like to know if you specifically picked Tom Hiddleston because you knew that would do it for Mandy.
Every cell in my body, no, every 100%. Cell in my body would not let me reject that man.
I have listened to episodes. I prepped the hell out of it.
I gotta say, for our listeners, we were emailing with Jason to book this interview, and he was like, I started listening to it. I'm like, oh my God, guys.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He's listening to it.
From my perspective, it was like, so I checked because it's thrilling enough to be invited to a podcast where people don't already know you. And then I went, well, I probably ought to listen to an episode. And immediately I was like, so wait a minute. She loves Spider-Man and she loves Hamilton. I don't understand why we're not friends already. Like, exactly. This needs to happen now.
That should have been the intro. The intro should have been like, we've got our new best friend on the podcast. Because it really is. It's like, from the moment like we connected, it was just like, well, he's one of us.
Yeah. I love that about your review, Mandy, was like, it's clear that he's one of us. I was like, oh, yeah. That's the single nicest thing.
he gets it. But like, I don't want to move on from it. Like, I want to say it's not your job to educate. Thank you for educating me just now because I made myself look like a dummy and you taught me something new. And now I'm like, wow.
Well,
so
I don't
want to for that.
I'll say one word in his defense, which was the other argument. He used two arguments. One was my life was so awesome before I was disabled. And now it's unacceptable that I'm disabled, which is why I wanted to dropkick him.
That's shitty. Yeah.
And then the other one was I don't want to drag you down because you better than me. You're going to be linked to me for the rest of your life, which part of my book is kind of like, look, you don't make that choice for other people. You don't unilaterally right. say like, yeah. I'm yeah. not worth
if
loving.
If I love you, I and love
so,
you.
Yeah. yeah. Right. So that's, you don't get that's my view on it. But I got, yeah. In about 2 days, I was laughable because again, it's like if, and I was in my, I'm nearly 41 now, but this was 8 years ago. So I'm in my 30s. I've been single for a large portion of my life. And I'm like, are you telling me that we just got a disabled representation on screen where the guy gets Emilia Clarke of Game of Thrones to walk up to him and he goes, I'm sorry, no.
I'm going to leave and stuff.
I won't stay with you for 24 hours. I won't stay with you for another week. In fact, I'm going to kill myself and make you watch. And this is going to be a love story. And I just was like, I have to write a book.
I'm glad you did. I got to fix this.
Yeah. Oh, if it's on my shelf, it's going in the trash. Because that is such a great, like such an eye-opening perspective that I'm pissed now.
I'm sorry. I apologize to JoJo Moyes.
No. I haven't read other books of hers.
She, you know, so I'm not against anybody at all, but it is legitimate to say that story pissed me off for that reason, but also the fact that it was sort of widely accepted as like, isn't this beautiful?
Yeah.
And I'm like, did we read the same book? Why did you like the book?
Yeah. So,
okay. So I need to know. Yeah. I am a sucker for cute children.
Okay.
I need to know if there is like a real life equivalent of Rosie that I can be like a long distance internet auntie for.
So, yes. Yes, you can. There are a couple answers to that question. I was an honorary uncle several times over before my brothers started having kids. So I wanted to write about being in your 30s and sort of having people that have been around forever. Yeah. I have a couple friends that are like Gavin and Mel that I've known forever, and then they get married and then you have these kids that are part of your life. But I will also say that my niece was about 3 at the time that I started writing. And that was my first experience with like loving another human being just because they existed. Like this little baby that, you know, just sitting there looking at you and you're like, I will jump in front of a car. I even wish somebody would give me the opportunity to jump in front of a bus just so I could demonstrate how much I care about this.
I said this earlier in this episode.
Yes, literally. Yeah.
Like for real.
Yeah.
So that's where that came. And I really liked the idea of giving Nick a relationship like, and her backstory kind of came organically where he, I don't want to spoil it too much, but his reaction to learning that she can walk and that, you know, she won't have to deal with that. But even if she did, he would be there for her. And it helps humanize him a little bit because he's a little prickly there at times. But that's there's, I'm hesitant because I'm always telling everybody there's no real life equivalent of anybody. I've had to say a million times over, Nick isn't me. My sister doesn't believe it. She's like, you may have seen the Instagram story earlier today because I just posted myself.
Were you singing?
2 hours ago. And my sister's like, yeah, right. And he's not, because I would tell people, what are you writing? Well, I'm writing a story about a guy in his 30s and he likes karaoke and he falls in love with a professional dancer. And they just kind of looked at me sideways and went, and that's not you. How? Like, you want to fall in love with a professional dancer? So I guess the point is there is no real, it wasn't like my niece and Rosie are interchangeable, but there are so many people in my life that are kind of, you kind of put your real life in a blender and take your life experience and, and tug at things and come up with completely new characters, which is really a load of fun. So,
So what is your, I know you've worked on it since 2016. What is your writing process like? Are you a pantser? Did you plot it out?
I actually
had write to be, when you felt like it.
I had to be told what that meant. My agent was like, so are you a plotter or a pantser? I was like, what did you say? A pantser? So now I know. I am somewhere in the middle. When I decided to write it, I was deathly afraid. Writing is a profession you can have and claim to be working on a book for an incredibly long time and, you know, be like picking your font or something. So I was like, well, I probably ought to get on this. So I resolved that I was going to put Facebook updates every week and I was going to write something every day. Sometimes that was 5 words. Sometimes it was 10 pages. So that took 6 months for the first draft. And as far as plotting versus pantsing, the analogy I've started to use is like if I was going on a road trip trip from here in Ohio to Columbus, or I'm sorry, to California, say. And I know I wanted to end up at Disneyland, and I had an idea of a few places I want to hit along the way, but I'm not really on a schedule. So I'm a plotter in that I needed to know where they started and where they were going to end up and where their conflict kind of was in the middle. But I didn't put myself under any obligation to hit points along the way, because I knew if I outlined it before, I'm kind of a regimented person. So if I wrote the outline, I was worried I would stick to the outline at the exclusion of whatever I would discover along the way. So it's kind of a mix of the two things.
I like that, okay. That like description of like a road trip. Like you knew the points, but you know how exactly. I like that. I never thought of it like that, but that's a great
Me
way
either.
To explain it. You're really good at this.
Yeah.
You think you
Are
do
you sure this is your first book? Well, yeah. Are you sure about that?
I will. I mean, I'll show my cards a little bit. I knew for sure you were going to ask me what the book was about. So while I was eating dinner, I was like, so the books that like I was definitely rehearsing that, but not all.
But see, that we had Austin Siegmund Burka on a few episodes back, and he was like, that's the one question that you can prepare for in these interviews. And I was like,
yeah,
never thought of that before either.
No, Jason's prepared for two more.
It's also inexplicably hard to get an answer to that question, which is weird because you wrote the book. Like, I don't understand why we all have such a problem.
It's because you have to try and like get all of it into like two sentences.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's true. And we resent the fact that we have to synopsize, because it's like, it's so much more than what I'm telling you right
now. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, I have all of this stuff. I packed it in there real good. Yeah. Like, why?
Just read the book.
You don't need an elevator pitch. You can just read it.
Yeah, exactly. It's worth your time. Yeah. Read Mandy's review and then read the book.
Yeah, read my review and then read the book. We're telling you to read it. We loved it.
That's
so,
right. That should be enough.
Never let anybody astray with a book.
Which, by the way, I got to the end of it and I didn't catch it the first time, but I read it a second time and I saw Love and Chocolate Milkshakes and I just started laughing. I was like, that's amazing.
I always end my blogs with like an inside joke with the book. Yeah. So it'll be like,
that was great.
Love
and
Chocolate Milkshakes or whatever.
Really?
Her reviews are much more clever than mine. I'm just like, they're... here's things. Words.
awesome. Okay, so I know you said that there's not like, you're not Nick and there's not like whatever ties, but you have to, given that there are so many pop culture references in this book. Do you also have the near encyclopedic knowledge of music and movies? Because there's like, there's this one movie where they're cooking and what's the music playing? And he's like, this.
Well, I mean, I cheated at that scene. I already set it up, right? I know.
Yeah, of course. But like, can someone do that to you at a karaoke bar?
I can do what Mel does. I can do movie trivia. I can't pick a song out of a movie unless I know the, there you go. Unless I know the movie, but I can list you 10 movies that John Travolta's been in. And I probably haven't seen half of that. Like I just retain that information. So I gave that to Mel for fun. I gave Nick the same kind of recall, but with music. And then I just had fun, like name checking or even just alluding to things that movies that I love. Or I was thinking about this today. Most of the songs I mentioned probably didn't come out after like 1998 because I was in high school, and that's kind of the period of music and stuff that nostalgia because I just love it. So you get the Savage Garden and the whatever, the Gin Blossoms and
you
guys, out of curiosity, do you know what movie Haley references when she's talking about the kid with the ghosts that they can't hug him?
Oh my God. No. Yes. It made my brain itch.
Kid with the ghost that can't hug him.
Haley says, I think the line is there's a movie with a kid and the ghosts are bound to him. They have to follow him around, but they can't touch him.
What is it? You have to tell me because I was going to Google it, but I forgot.
Because you guys have to watch this movie. It's not available online as far as I can tell, but I bought the Blu-ray. It's a movie called Heart and Souls. It has Robert Downey Jr. in it is the kid. The plot is that these four people, Kira Sedgwick, Charles Grodin, Alfre Woodard, and Tom Sizemore are on this bus, and they're in a bus crash. So they die prematurely, so they're bound to this kid. He gets born at exactly the same time. And the idea is they're supposed to use him for their unfinished business, but they don't know that until the bus shows up to take them to heaven. So they're all supposed to like finish that. It's a comedy, but it's really well heartfelt. I grew up with that movie. That's a Dutton family classic. So
yeah.
I like
Well, you that. Slandered a Mandy Family classic.
Okay, listen, oh, yeah? I was going to say,
when
I will defend it here in a minute.
I wrote it down. I wrote it down exactly the moment. Chapter 16.
All of my dogs. Yeah, all of my dogs are named after It's a Wonderful yeah. Life characters. Again, because I love pain.
I was well, about would it make to text you. I was like, Mandy.
Would it make you feel better if you get the Jason Dutton opinion? That might make you feel a little better.
Yeah.
I still don't like A Christmas. I love It's a Wonderful Life, actually. I watched It's a Wonderful Life again this year and cried like a baby. The reason the reason I like It's a Wonderful Life is because even though you watch bad things happening to him, you're still watching him be a good person. I don't like mm-hmm. Christmas Carol because that's a movie where you're watching his life go wrong the whole time.
Right.
And then at the end, he gets 5 minutes to redeem himself. In A Wonderful Life, you get to watch
George
Jimmy
Bailey
Stewart,
is a good exactly. person no matter
yes.
what.
Yes. Yeah. So I agree with you. I mean, Nick, again, I can't speak stuff that Nick says. He's a crazy guy, but he may have said that to get a rise out of Haley. I don't know.
Maybe, because I'm sure George Bailey, the Yorkie, was on my chest and was like, don't look, buddy. I know you can't read it, but don't listen.
Yeah.
Don't listen to this. My husband won't exactly. watch it with me because he's like, this is way too depressing. And I don't know why you depress yourself like this at Christmas.
No, it's a great movie. And Pub Week was almost a George Bailey moment. It was almost like all you had to say was Jason was publishing a book and these people just like, you know, came out of the woodwork. And so I love that movie. I love that movie.
Well, I'm glad you've because I was like, oh, wait a second.
I wrote down slandering. The specific chapter because I knew that this was gonna be something that came up.
Yeah. Again, you gotta be careful.
It's wonderful. Anytime It's a Wonderful Life comes up in any book, I immediately pull out my phone. I'm like, Mandy.
Yeah.
Mandy.
So my Yorkie, he's my soul dog. We got him like a week after I got married. He's been with us. Like, we've not been a family without him. The dog is my soulmate. I have a tattoo of his paw print, like right next to my heart. And then I have George Bailey, I'll love you until the day I die.
That's amazing.
Next to it. That's my boy. Really cool. And then I have Tallulah Claire for Clarence, the angel. Okay. And then I have Zuzu and I have Harry.
Yeah. So
got the whole crew.
That's fantastic. Well, if it makes you feel any better, I am totally on board with that movie. Awesome. You won't win me over on Christmas Carol, but I'm totally on board.
I can take or leave it. I don't, as long as you don't start slandering National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation or A Christmas Story.
That one's pretty good. Yeah, I like both of those.
I just can't do Elf. That's the one that I'm like.
I'm indifferent on Elf. I mean, I've seen it. I was entertained, but I don't love it like other people love it. And that's kind of the fun thing about movies. And I think for a while I was afraid to sort of, you know, oh my gosh, well, if I write a book just with all my weird enthusiasms, you know, is anybody going to read a book about somebody that references, you know, the music that I reference or the plays or what? There was a whole side conversation in an earlier draft about that Shaggy song, when he says he's playing Legos, there was a whole two pages on that. So stuff like that. And you worry about, well, is it going to connect with people? Are people going to like, and the answer seems to be the more true you are to what you love or what you're passionate about, you're going to find people that connect with the story overall, even if they don't agree with your particular, you know, your take on Before I Fall or, you know, an Alanis Morissette song or whatever it is.
Yeah. Or you'll hear, oh my God, me too. Or one of us.
yeah, exactly. That was
everybody's a fan of something. You know, you're never loving something alone. There is always going to be somebody else out there, no matter how right or wrong you are. There's always going to be someone else out there who agrees with you.
Look, Alanis is my entire childhood. Okay, my entire childhood. My mom is like, "Why are you the way that you are?" And I'm like, "Because you raised me on Alanis Morissette." Okay, I mean that and the 8 Mile soundtrack are the that's what we listen to in the car.
That would explain your pain thing. I got you. No, that's
exactly.
All right, learning so much.
All right, so Nick is a regular at karaoke night every week, which I related to so much. I had an ex that I dated for a while, and we would do that like every Sunday night. We'd go to this bar karaoke night. We'd have our regular like songs. Do you have a go-to karaoke song?
Oh my gosh, do I have a go? I used to. My favorite music. musician of all time is Billy Joel, but his range is a little high. So for a while, it was Elton John's Your Song, but that was almost too easy because it's not, there aren't a lot of complications to that song. So recently, I sang a lot of like Over My Head by The Fray, Cable Car. Do you know that song?
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then there's a Niall Horan song called Nice to Meet You that I like a lot.
Yeah.
So those are two. Yeah.
Okay.
Last time I did karaoke was probably 12 years ago.
Okay.
And we did, my husband and I did Jackson by Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash.
That's very cool.
That's very cool.
I know. We need to go to karaoke again. That was fun. It took a lot of liquid courage to get me up there because only Ed Sheeran, Harry Styles, and I know how badly I can sing because it's only when I'm alone in my car.
Okay.
I
thought there might have been a more interesting story there, but
I'm sorry. Oh, no. God, I wish.
You could make up something. Right now, let's do it.
So we were all in a bar. Yeah.
Yeah. You would not believe it.
Yeah.
Harry Styles, Ed Sheeran, and I walked into a bar and.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Karaoke is a fun time. All sorts of people for all sorts of reasons. So,
right. Yeah. All right. If you've been listening to the podcast, you know what? One of
these
specials
is
coming.
Okay. All right.
We have a segment called Fictional Boyfriend of the Week. Okay.
Yes.
It doesn't obviously doesn't have to be a boyfriend. Karen had a fictional girlfriend this week. She's had a fictional granny. Do you have a fictional character? I know you talked about Emilia Clarke in Game of Thrones, but do you have a fictional character where you're like, that is my boo?
Gave this a lot of thought because, as you know, I prepped. it's harder than I thought. I kind of have two. There's a series of books by Jeffrey Deaver called the Lincoln Rhymes series. It starts with The Bone Collector. They made a Denzel Washington movie in the 90s, and it's about a disabled, a paralyzed CSI genius who has to work with this NYPD patrol woman named Amelia Sachs. And I loved her. She's like an ex-fashion model who is now a policewoman. And it was the first time I saw, maybe the only time I can remember in fiction seeing a relationship between, you know, like she loved him for his mind. And they have a really interesting relationship, the two of them. The only other one I could think of was, there's a movie that's called Can't Hardly Wait with Jennifer Love Hewitt from like 98. And it's a movie about a bunch of high school students that are celebrating their last, it's like the party after graduation, and she's the popular girl and she's just been dumped by the quarterback. And there's this writer named Preston who's loved her from afar and has gone through like 83 drafts of this letter that he's got to give to her. And the whole movie is like, there are other hijinks involved, but he's trying to give her this letter. And of course, I can't imagine why I would relate to a writer who's trying to woo the popular girl. but that was, I saw that movie. I was like, and it's Jennifer Love Hewitt in like 1998.
Yeah.
So those are my two.
I wonder what she's doing
Amanda
now.
Beckett.
I know.
She's on 911 or something, I think, the Fox show.
Oh yeah. Okay. I remember seeing a commercial for that. I love that. I actually really love it when like authors are prepared for that question. Like it's so
most
shocking.
Authors are like, what's a book? Don't know what that is. I've never
watched a show. I was prepared because I wouldn't have been. If you'd hit me cold, I would have been like, oh no.
Yeah. We have you know, when we have people come back and we ask them, they still kind of stumble on it.
Yeah, they're still like, oh, wait.
So it's kind of cool. And then you also know what our other main staple question is. What are you reading? What do you recommend other than your book? Because we've already we love it so much.
Well, thank you so much.
What else out there are you recommending?
I don't exclusively read romance. I grew up on like mystery and thriller. And I read a book recently called The Appeal. I can't remember the name of the author. I think she's English, but it's a mystery that's entirely told through like correspondence, emails and text messages and stuff like that.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I would have thought difficult for me just reading emails, but what she manages to pull off is not only brilliant storytelling, but like a cool mystery it was a really good time. That's the last book I was really blown away by.
That sounds really cool. All right. So what comes next, Jason? This is your debut. You're going to continue writing. So do you have anything already in the pipeline, or are you just getting ready, gearing back up to do it?
Well, I'm not under contract for anything. I've got a couple of ideas, one of which is kind of related to the Squeaky Lion Gang and one of which is not. I don't know that I can talk about anything, but I wanted to know if there's anybody in the book that you wanted to see more of. If I were to write another book.
Rosie.
I was going to say Mel Rosie's and story. Rosie. I really love Mel.
I do. I love Mel.
Yeah.
I can relate to her so much. Like, as a parent, I'm just like, I have literally, my daughter is about to be 9 in a a few days, and I have spent literally two full nights away from her.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And so I'm just like, I get her anxiety.
Yeah.
Mel would be fun, or it might maybe like a prequel with Mel and Gavin's love story.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That'd be good. Those two are surprisingly functional.
Yeah. She reminds me a lot of my bestie here, because she is the one who is not going to lie to you. She's not going to sugarcoat it. She's going to tell you to your face when you're wrong, when you're being an asshole, why you're wrong. She's like, I love you. Like, it's not that, but she's going to be truthful with you. Yeah. And I love that about Mel. She's like, I'm not going to kiss your ass for you.
Yeah. I'm fortunate to know a lot of amazingly capable, fiery women. And that was kind of what I liked, the idea that she was around for the majority. I mean, you know, Gavin and he met, I think, in kindergarten, and then they met in junior high. But like, there was a line. I think it was a line from a previous draft that I got read of or something, that was they met and two things were accepted as gospel in their high school class, which was that Gavin and Mel would be together forever, and that Mel would sooner commit multiple murders than let anything happen to her boys. And I liked the idea. Like, she's just, that's, she would kill for her boys. And I loved that relationship. And again, nobody's based off anybody else entirely, but the reason that she has red hair is because Icarus and Vive are both based off of this theater downtown called Shadowbox Live, and that I went to I pretty much lived there for like 10 years. And there was a woman that worked in there named Jennifer, who I'm good friends with now, has red hair and stunning musician and played the piano. And so that's kind of my tip of the hat to her. The rest of that, you know, again, you kind of put your experience in a blender and come up with these characters. But yeah, Mel was a lot of fun to write. And I loved the way that they were able to sort of help each other with a lot of things too.
I also really loved the, what's her name? Mimi? Is it Mimi?
Yeah.
I love that, because that's my aunt name.
Yeah. I would love to see more of Mimi.
She's great.
She's so great. Like, the relationship that she had with Nick was just so like sweet and like adorable and like flirty, but not
witty.
Flirting,
though,
you know, like witty, I would love to see banter. More of her banter. Yes,
that's good. Yeah. We'll try to bring all those people in. She was actually not even supposed to be in this book. I was working on a sequel because I wrote the first book, and if you can believe it, Vive Dance wasn't even in the first draft of the book. And she was supposed to be somewhere else. And then I rewrote the book and Vive Dance showed up and she came along with it. And I was like, this is amazing. Yeah. So yeah, she's one of my favorites.
You have so many great characters that you could like spin off of. And just follow everybody.
You've got a whole multiverse.
As a Spider-Man, I love all of that. When you know, growing up in the 90s, they used to do NBC crossover events where like the lead of the one show was on the other show for a Friday, Saturday, and you just lost your mind, you know. And so the idea of creating books that are all interconnected, and if, you know, God willing, if people want them, publishing house wants them, then you will absolutely see more of everybody in that book. So I loved
everybody except for Kevin.
Kevin evolved too. Kevin was really a stock villain to begin with, and we had some conversations because he was really a stock villain. And my first reaction was, guys, I hate to tell you, but I've seen relationships like this. Like, I've seen people with, but the problem is you can't make him evil because you're wondering why she's with him all that time. And
I didn't hate him. I felt, I was like, I know something's gonna have to give because I know what, you know, I know that it's a romance, but I'm like, I can't really, like, I didn't want her to be with him. I could see that there were cracks and all that, but it was like, I don't really see that he's a bad, I mean, he doesn't call her a very nice name in the heat of a moment.
That's right.
But I was
I needed that to happen to get
the bad guy.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, for sure.
No.
But he wasn't that like textbook, I hate this guy from the first page, which I thought was really nice.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that.
Can be in relationships that don't work.
You kind of like, I don't know if he leans into it, but like, we lean into like the more negative parts of Kevin as the book goes on. Like, he starts off like, you know, this guy's not too bad. But then as the book goes on, you're like,
she has a boyfriend.
Wait a second.
It was tricky because you can't, and I've actually seen some reviews where people are not okay with the fact that Nick and Haley are getting to know each other while she's still with Kevin. And so it was tricky. You had to make, I couldn't let Nick, I think it works because Nick was so preoccupied with doing not cross crossing any lines, being a decent human being. And Kevin is just a guy who has been taught that, hey, if things aren't working for you, change things up, break up with the girl, throw an ultimatum, bulldoze anything that gets in your way, and life will ultimately work out for you because you're talented and good looking. And, you know, Haley decided she was in love with him and they were together for so long because they happened to be on the same path and it was working until they figured out why they were on the same. Well, I don't want to, you're going to have to read the book. I'm pretty much cheating and giving you the entire
I think it would actually be really interesting to get a story from Kevin's POV post How to Dance.
Yeah.
Like, it might be interesting to have something to explore there because he does kind of, like you said, he does evolve a little bit by the end, and it would be pretty interesting to see where that goes and continues and maybe see more of Icarus, that because we didn't get, you know, much of that because they weren't there. So that might be cool.
With Pub Week and everything, I'm like, guys, I got like 53 notifications on my Instagram for the first time ever. I don't even know what to do.
So. You guys, I did something. Yay.
Everybody's real sweet. And frankly, one of the highlights is meeting the two of you, honestly. Like,
we've really been looking forward to this. Yeah. And before we let you go, do we need to discuss a particular fangirl freestyle when Karen, not her opinion,
not my opinion, but it was very offensive, okay? I had to bring it up.
Flint being responsible for all of the events of WandaVision and Westview.
Yeah, I think I was at work just sort of like squinting at my computer. Like, if you make him responsible for, and I think you guys said this, like, it's a whole causal chain. You could blame pretty much anybody. I mean, if you're going to make the whole thing. So yes, I like the freestyles for that reason. Like, I am down. And of course, I was so excited to find all the stuff I had in common with you guys. I was like, this is going to be so much fun because I've seen all those movies.
I just remember when she said it, my whole body kind of got hot.
I'm like, yeah.
What?
I heard it on mic. You're just like, what did you take that back?
Don't talk about him. He's been through enough. Okay.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This has been so much fun. Forever.
Wait, really my pleasure.
What we meant
I remember
to
when
do.
You guys emailed and I was like, you don't even have to worry about it. Like, I'll block out my next 3 days. It's fine.
I'm so glad.
We cannot let you leave without reminding you that now that you have been on the podcast, rules. You are legally obligated to come back for all future book releases. So
yes, I would love nothing more. I've already signed the paperwork. Yeah.
All future book releases, and if we have any like Marvel fangirl freestyles.
Ooh. Yes, please invite me back.
That would be fun. We're gonna bring back the freestyle, guys.
Yeah.
I look forward to it.
That's going to be fun. It's been a while. God, my cheeks hurt so much.
I know.
Thanks for hanging out with us. We've been looking forward to this for like so long.
We really knew it would be just like this.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I had a mini anxiety attack because it occurred to me that you may have asked me to come on before actually reading the book. And I thought, did you already read it when you put out the invitation?
We hadn't read the book. We had read the synopsis, like the copy, the jacket copy.
I was like, dear Lord, what happens if they think, even if they just think it's okay, what's going to happen if we get on here? And they're it's all right.
I don't know if it was your agent or it was somebody reached out to me and asked me if I would be interested in reading it. And I was like, absolutely. Awesome. And also,
I know somebody else who would be very interested.
I know somebody else who would love to read it if Jason would be open to coming on the podcast.
Yeah, yes. She did all of that in secret before she told me, and then she told me, and I was
I didn't want her to be let
you
down
have
if
to
you were
book
like,
it.
I don't do appearances or whatever.
I need you to make this happen. We're pretty good at
being able to tell if we're going to like a book from the synopsis, and we knew like from reading the synopsis that they sent me that it was going to like we were gonna love
yeah,
it. I knew I was gonna love it. I knew she was gonna love it.
That review made my day. Really, your review made my day. And you guys know. I mean, you're both working on books, right? You're both writing.
Yeah.
I think.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know that like what you're working on is even if there aren't any what I've told people is there are no characters that are real people. But if you want to know me, you can read the book and know me because of all the humor or the stuff that I find funny or important or romantic. So you take that and you put it out in the world for people to evaluate. And so to have people love it and connect with it so much is like, oh, okay. So you do like, you know, you said about yelling me too. It's like, oh, okay. So you get me. Yeah. So
yeah.
Yeah. So that was a really great experience. I'm thankful for that, guys. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Awesome.
It's been so
we can't
much
wait
fun.
To see what comes yeah. next.
We're really looking forward to it.
All yes. of oh wait, we gotta manifest because
oh yes.
I don't know if Please. You know, but we're pros at this.
Yes.
multi-book deals where we get stories from all of our favorite side characters. So yes. I don't know who wants to pick that up. I'm thinking that your current publisher should be the one to do that.
Yeah.
Guys, mm-hmm. wink wink yeah. nudge.
Maybe
nudge.
If somebody's interested in a movie or something, you know, I would be interested in that.
Movies, shows, and yeah, I've... manifesting multi-books, all of the things. Movies,
fantastic,
maybe a
fantastic.
TV show, all of it.
Well, you're going to get the thank yous. If those things happen, I'm calling you people right away.
It would be on your, we always say, because we it's do always, have this yeah. thing where like, we'll have somebody on and then like the next
they'll
week they're
milestone.
On New York Times
yeah.
or
yeah.
they'll, you
USA
know,
Today. Some,
they'll get a really good news. And it's like, it's all on your talent. You did this. It is just interesting that we said this.
Yeah.
Right before it happened.
Well, my talent got me to this podcast, and then the podcast got me the fame and the fortune. I feel like that's probably the way it works out. You lovely ladies were responsible for my ascent to greatness, and I thank you ahead of time as part of the manifestation.
We're just all shooting into the stars.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And I hope to one day read your books and have the same thing happen. I will interview you guys on your podcast about your
books. Hey, I was going to say, when we release books, how are we going to do that? She sent me like the Google Doc of like a draft of one of her books. Yeah. So I'm like, how am I going to ask her? I guess I would still have read it by the time I interviewed you. But like,
you'd have to reread
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're going to have to come on in and interview us so that it's
I would
not just
love
one
to.
Person.
It would truly be a pleasure. It would give me, I would love to.
Well, that is going to happen. And we're looking forward to that because we're also manifesting that. I'm very close to finishing
my
first draft.
She's close.
Yeah. 25 is your year, right?
The 25 is our year.
Yeah.
25 is our year.
Okay.
We're going
to do it.
Things are.
And I can say I knew you went.
We're coiling.
That's great.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Right. No, I think that's legit. I think there's a real sort of, you can prepare for things in life. You can be in a state of mind where you're open to things. And I think a lot of what being, like I said, I mean, the reason that this publishing week was so great was that I believed in what I was writing, and I built a community that loves me of just people that are amazing people. And what I'm experiencing now is the result of all that. It's not like the book got out and then all this greatness just kind of came out of nowhere. It's all these people that are just way more supportive than, I mean, I'm going to be self-deprecating. I was going to say way more supportive than I think I deserve, but I'm often overwhelmed by the kindness
Don't
of others.
Don't pull a Nick on yourself.
Yeah.
It's all well-deserved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bonk
yeah.
you overhead with the book.
He's got issues. He's got issues. That was one of my favorite. That was not expected when I wrote that scene and she tells him to shut the hell up. I was like, oh, this will be fun. Like when you talk about your characters, like taking a path of, I was, you know, they take a path of their own or do whatever. I was like, oh, well, this could be nice to have.
Sometimes it just comes out.
She told
him
to
exactly.
shut up. Maybe
exactly.
he needs to shut up.
Which I need to tell myself half the, a lot of those conversations are like kind of my inner monologue. Cause you get the self-pity, but you're also like, on the other hand, these are, you know, and it was nice to put that in two different characters and talk about that in a way that educated me. I learned a lot about, well, I say learned, I guess it was all in your head already, but some of the stuff that Mel says and Haley says by encouragement, like I'm a more functional person for having written all that. So
yeah.
I'm sorry. I kept going on, so I probably kept you.
Don't do that to you. Don't do that to you.
Just for your sake, I
won't. We've got a hefty book here that is good for bonking people.
You deserve all of the accolades. You deserve all of the attention, all of the credit, all of the excitement. Let your people love you.
Well, thank you.
Let people be happy for you.
Everybody who is listening, and also all of your friends and family, go pick up How to Dance. It is out now. It's so good.
You don't even have to pre-order or anything.
You can just walk into a bookstore and pick it up, guys.
Yep.
It is
and
out.
If it's on a top shelf, tell somebody to move it or move it yourself. I support that kind of
actually
vandalism.
I'm a menace to bookstores. Every time I go in, I like, if my friend's books aren't facing out, they are now.
They're gonna be.
So now I'm gonna start moving books.
Do it. That would be a massive favor to me and a lot of people. If you make it more accessible for people that aren't gonna be able to, and parenthetically, all those Barnes and Nobles I went in to move them, none of them have automatic doors. None of them have automatic doors. So if you find them on a top shelf, please move them. Please move them. Draw attention to the book, because not only will it be more accessible, but then people might want to buy it. Yeah. That'd be awesome, because then I can write more books. Maybe I should say this publicly, because I saw this in a review where somebody had a problem with the repeated use of the word word cripple in reference to Nick. And my response to that would be that Nick is using that about himself until Haley calls him on it. And that's actually self-disparaging language. Mm-hmm. I don't like the word cripple. You probably shouldn't use the word cripple. He probably shouldn't use the word cripple. But in the context of the book, it was used because to indicate how he feels about himself. Right. It's not a word. That's maybe the one word that if anybody called me that, I'd be like, that's
yeah.
not okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So. No.
Yeah. And that's like, I think as far as I can remember, and you mentioned like Nick's the only one who says that other than yes. that one instance of Haley.
Yeah, there's one, but that was deliberately ugly. There, right. That two lines of dialogue was the ugliest thing I've ever written. And I don't, again, using profanity or ugly or harmful language, I feel like as a writer, it's a tool because you're trying to create a mood in a scene.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, yes, he's the only one that uses that term.
Right.
And that's another part of the book.
He's not using it as a slur to hurt others either. Right. It's
not at all. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and everybody, that's one of the magical parts of the book too, is that I think everybody has a higher opinion of him than he does.
And he doesn't.
And that's the thing about being disabled, is we can't see ourselves from somebody else's. Well, no, that's not limited to disability. Nobody can see themselves from somebody else's point of view. So the idea that he makes suppositions, and then that was important to me, that nobody in that book, except for maybe Haley's neighbor, sees him as inspirational for being disabled. They see him as inspirational because
he's
charismatic or whatever it is. Yeah.
Funny and witty and talented. Smart. Yeah. And I did love that scene because it was like when, spoiler, I was going to say the thing with the dog, but no, I was talking about with the teacher. I mean, not the teacher.
Yes.
Where
he was the teacher in the end, where she was like, I didn't even know. Like, she didn't know what he looked like. She thought he was somebody else, but he was such a good teacher. And she was like, you were so inspirational to my son.
Yeah. That was a really important moment. And shout out to one of my best friends in the world, Tony Snyder, has a wheelchair. And that was I went to college with Tony Snyder, and he loves girls' basketball. He loves all sports of all kinds. So I made him I gave him the name of the basketball coach that Nick gets mixed up with is my friend Tony. So that's a little shout out to my buddy.
That's really cool.
I love that.
Hi, Tony.
I love the little Easter eggs like that.
Yeah. Well, you'll see. I mean, I could go into it, but the name of the diner is Dom and Tony are people that I know. The Carmonies are people that I know. The Squeaky Lion bar, a friend of mine had a dog with a Squeaky Lion chew toy. So all of that. That's another fun thing about being a writer, is you can just pepper all that stuff in there. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I'm so sorry. You have been here for so long.
I know.
Oh, no, no. I've kept you. It's fine. I keep talking.
No, you're great. We love
this.
That
was so much fun.
Thank you so much. Please come back. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I will be in touch. I promise.
And well, everybody, like I said, go into a bookstore, pick up How to Dance, because
move it if you need to.
It's amazing.
Yes.
And we'll see you next time.
Okay. I can't wait already. I miss you guys.
We miss you too. Thank you so much for being here.
All right. Well, keep in touch. And I think I follow you both on Instagram or whatever. And I'll let you know if things are brewing. You already know what I'm up to. So
yay.
Yeah. I got a giveaway to draw.
Fantastic.
For a copy of this as soon as we get off of here. So
all right. Cool.
All right.
We'll have a good night, guys. All right. I'll look forward to it. Bye.
Bye.
I knew it.
I knew that I would love him. Obsessed. I love him so much. We kept him for an hour and a half.
Wait, hold on. We've kept him so long that my headphones have died.
Perfect timing, though.
Okay, only one of them has died.
That is so I can perfect still hear you. And hilarious timing.
So, yeah, that's how long that we have been recording.
It was like, it doesn't feel like it's been an hour and a half, though. Like,
it really doesn't.
I looked up at the clock and I was like, what?
I looked up. I swear to God, it had been like 5 minutes. I looked up and it was 6:30. And I was like, no, that's not right. Nonsense. I love him. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We got to get Jason back for a fangirl freestyle.
Yes. We got to think of a good one and then bring him back. Tell him we never tell each other anything. Anyways,
I know. So
whoever comes up with it, just be like, okay, we need
to come up with a good one.
We got to book Jason.
Like you said, go into the bowels of Reddit and find something really sensationally awful, and
we could
scandalize each other with it.
Okay. All right. Time for some announcements. or an announcement. Very exciting. Next week's interview is with Anita Kelly, who I adore. Their latest book is, you got it right there.
Mine I got a thumbs up.
Mine is over there.
I was like, I think it's over here.
Their latest book is How You Get the Girl, which, yes, is a Taylor Swift song title. and I'm so excited to read it. I'm so excited.
Me too.
And I think I saw somewhere that there is some ace spectrum rep in this book, which is very exciting. So I can't wait. I've read both of their other books and I loved them. So I'm really excited for this one.
Very
and I'm
nice.
Also told that if you have read the others, you're in for a treat with cameos in this one. So
awesome.
I'm extra excited. So next week, people, Anita Kelly is coming to the podcast and I'm freaking out.
Don't freak out. It's going to be great.
It's fine. It's fine. I'll play it cool. It's okay. And now it's time.
I guess that leaves us
a spiel.
Hey.
If you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Please follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. You can also visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, which also houses all of our episodes as well as our blog, which has so many things on it.
All
I love
things,
it so much.
Everything. Yeah.
And if you would like early access to episodes, access to video episodes, and access to some bonus content and some early sneak peeks, head over to theincoherentfangirl.com/Patreon to subscribe. You can also shop our merch store, which has many cute designs designed by somebody super cool herself. I'm just saying.
Hey, you did some too.
I did a couple. Yours are cooler.
No.
We do still have the limited edition Intruder Alert shirt, which lists all of our guests from 2023 on the back. I love mine. It's so soft.
I've got to go order mine. I forgot.
I love it so much. Head over to theincoherentfangirl.com/shop to do some shopping and self-care.
Nice.
Because we love you. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas, or would like to tell us that we're pretty, we will accept all of that.
Where
is it? There it is.
Patreon.
In our inbox, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. Please, we love hearing from y'all.
Yes.
And one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review wherever you are listening to us. Please give us words. We love words.
Yes, we want to read your words.
Give us all the words. She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you have followed us on social media and you follow the podcast on social media, you can head over and do some more self-care via shopping with our besties. First stop is herecomesthenerd.com, where you can use code fangirl to get 20% off your first order.
And then once you've done some shopping there, you're going to go shop at onceuponabookclub.com. We have two codes for you. You can use either one. They don't stack. We love you no matter which one you use. So you can use either code Karen10 or Mandy10. Just make sure you spell Karen right, and it'll get you 10% off at onceuponabookclub.com.
And once you have done that, you're going to need some coziness in the form of tea, because what is reading without tea?
Nothing.
So what you're going to do is head over to entrancingelixirs.com. Use code FANGIRLTEA to get 10% off your order. But remember, unlike Karen, there is no I in fangirl. It's FANGRLTEA.
And then you're going to head over and buy everything from our darling Amber D. Lewis. 1, 2, 3 of everything. It doesn't really matter as long as you're buying all the things. So head to amberdlewis.com and use code FANGIRL10 to get 10% off of your purchase.
Yay. And she does have something new already in the
pipeline.
I'm so excited. So
yeah.
Get on it, guys. You want to be caught, like, they're not related, but you want to get up caught up on Fire and Starlight
right
first, and then
for sure
enjoy the next stuff. So get on it. And once you have finished supporting our internet besties, you can also head over and support the show husband, because we're keeping him, I guess.
Yeah, we kind of like him. I have a new microphone cable, so, and I haven't had any issues yet, so
works
he
out.
Did his tech duties and made that happen. So you're going to, after you've listened to this episode, go listen to the latest episode of The Paranormal Mind. They release on Fridays just like we do. We recorded 2 new episodes yesterday, and they'll be recording some more before they go on a big trip next weekend. They'll be gone for a week filming, then head over to searchersbelieve.com. There's a merch shop. You can use code FANGIRL10 and get 10% off. And yeah, go support Searchers and the Paranormal Mind everywhere on social media. They're doing some really cool things. They got a lot of cool secret surprises coming down the pipeline. And their merch was also designed by yours truly.
Yes. She's lovely at merch. I'm gonna leave it all to her. If she designs the merch, then I can focus on the other stuff.
I don't want to
do any of that. I'm not as creative. And I believe that is
that's the Anchor Fangirl, folks.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. We love you. Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.